Former Dolphin Troy Vincent, first-round pick of the Dolphins out of Wisconsin in 1992, was walking around Radio Row. He joined us just a little while ago. Our next guest is a first-round pick of the Miami Dolphins back in 1992 and now doing some great work with players in the National Football League. He is the Vice President of Player Engagement for the NFL. Troy Vincent joins us here at Super Bowl 47. Troy, obviously what you do is great for the players and everything, and an event like the Super Bowl, great opportunity, I know, to get involved in the community as well.
Yes, yeah, so we come in on the front end. We say we're the pre-Super Bowl event because around Wednesday, Thursday, when the big boys come in and everyone starts to talk a little bit about the game, we feel like we touch the real people. We get a chance to go into the city and touch the kids that really won't get an opportunity to partake or participate in some of the Super Bowl festivities. So we kicked off an event on Saturday and Sunday at the New Orleans Saints facility. It's called our Prep 100 series, where we have the top 100 players from New Orleans and around the region come in and compete. A lot of classroom education, so both on and off the field education.
I know that it impacts not only the city of New Orleans when the Super Bowl comes here, but as you said, the community. You can feel the excitement around the city. And like you said, some of the high school kids that really don't get to touch and feel game day, they benefit all week long until about Thursday. But you talk about going out and educating them. What do you do? How do you take them through a classroom, and what do you do out on the football field?
Okay, so we start off in the classroom. I'm working in collaboration with the NCAA, so we spend about 4 hours in the morning talking about recruiting,
right,
eligibility, academic success, character development, social media. Spend a ton of time on social media, the do's and don'ts of social media, and then we just get a chance to share our testimony, you know, inside of that. So it's candid conversation because we do a social media analysis of all of those students. So when they're thinking no one's looking or watching, when I throw them up on the PowerPoint and I, you know, you've seen this inappropriate language that you just used, let's talk about that and the impact that that has on you now and later on in life. And then on the field, it's just teaching,
right,
you know, fundamental teaching. And then on Sunday, we'll end it with a round robin of 7-on-7 competition.
Troy, you've been to a number of these events around the country, and you had opportunity, like you talk about, to reach those high school students, then go all the way down to the elementary guys. When Super Bowl was in Miami, you was down there, you was able to touch different schools and all of those different things. But it all comes back to this football game, and it all starts at that bottom level. But when you get here, is all of a sudden the situation that you're placed in as players, it's one of those big stages, but still there's a lot going around, and we've seen things happen throughout the course of the Super Bowl. Being one of those guys that you go into a multiple number of locker rooms and talk to these guys about the different things that you were talking about, social media, how do you keep these guys informed about what's about to happen and go down at a Super Bowl event?
Well, this is the ultimate goal of every player. I played 15 years, and the fat lady just never sang with me. So you want to stay focused. You look to, this is the ultimate goal. This is every kid's ultimate dream, to be one of those 53 guys in either one of those locker rooms representing your team or your division for the greatest show, you know, on earth. Keeping them focused is, in the era of the most, where there's more going on with a young man,
right,
not just a kid, but our adult, I mean, our players in the locker room, keeping them focused because of technology, I can now speak to the fan at any moment, at any second. That's a cultural challenge that we have, and we just try to say, weigh the good with the good and the bad with the bad, and a wrong decision today, a poor decision today, the ramifications that it has for you long term.
Former Dolphin first-round pick Troy Vincent is with us here, player development vice president for the National Football League. Well, let's talk some defense. Five-time Pro Bowler, 3 All-Pro selections, 47 career interceptions.
Mm.
Got a couple of good – you like that last number,
oh,
I know,
yeah,
Sam.
I like that number.
You got a couple of good defensive teams coming up in this game on Sunday. I know that makes guys like you and Sam smile.
I love it, and I was torn. I was torn at first. This is one. I don't know if it's going to be a pretty game.
Nah. Yeah.
I think both defenses play well. I think both front sevens are about equal. I do believe, even though when you look at San Francisco, you look at the men that they have in the back end, for whatever reason, the guys in Baltimore make a few more plays. They're a little bit better in one-on-one matchups. We've seen that, even though Carlos Rogers is starting to find himself, is coming to his own. Defensively, I like Baltimore defensively, but I really like what San Francisco's doing offensively.
Yeah, you know what? You're right to say you're torn, because when you look at this game, you look at both quarterbacks who've been very efficient throwing the football down the field. You know, plays of 20 yards or more, these guys are right at the top of the list. But for me, Troy, it comes back to how physical both of these teams are. I mean, it's good to see, because in the game of all games, you know, the Super Bowl, you want to see the team that's more physical win the football game.
And we're going to see that. Now, we saw throughout the playoffs, at the end of the day, the guys on both sides of that ball, they manned up.
Yeah.
And they were bringing it. It was 11 hats to that football. I mean, we saw people go to sleep. I mean, we saw the separation of ball and body. We saw all of those things, and I think we're not going to be let down. I think both will try to establish the run.
Yeah.
And then try to open it up, because you got Torrey Smith outside. You got Rice that you want to get the ball to. You got Gore that you want to get the ball to. But them guys, I think with the 2 weeks rest, I think Baltimore is a little bit better up front than San Francisco.
Troy Vincent is here. Yeah, it's funny what you say, too, about the physicality and that style of play, because even with both these teams want to run the ball, and we talk about the read option, everything Kaepernick does, at the end of the day, they're setting up Frank Gore, big, strong running back. They're giving him the ball, letting him run downhill, and, I mean, that's what we saw in the NFC Championship
game.
Well,
he was a difference.
Yeah.
He was a difference in that Atlanta game. You know, Cap, you know, he did enough. He did what you want your quarterback to do, manage the game. The Falcons were actually disciplined on defense. That's the only way. You have to be disciplined to stop that offense. But when Cap saw that in containing, you got to give the ball to the running back. And Frank was running
downhill,
shoulder pads, and you don't want to see that when it actually out on the corner.
If you go back and look at that highlight, very early, and I think it was the first or second quarter, Frank actually went back to Harbs on the sideline, had a few words to say, it's there. Give me the ball. It's there. The next series, they started rolling up the clock.
And it's funny that you say that. Jesse hit some of your numbers, 47 interceptions, and have an opportunity to make plays back in the secondary. You played cornerback extremely at a high level, and then you moved to safety and did the same thing. So coming into this football game, how important is it for these young defensive backs, or these defensive backs in itself, in this big-time game, to come up with turnovers and turn that ball over to get it back to your quarterback?
Well, one, as you know, now he ran me out of Miami. I want to let all the listeners know, Sam did run me out of Miami.
He was gone 2 years before me.
There's a buffer there. There's a buffer there.
Keeping the big ball off you.
Yeah.
Understanding that Baltimore, I'm speaking from San Francisco, typically are not marching the ball down 98 yards. If I can keep the big ball, Torrey Smith, if I could keep him under control, not letting that big ball to cut the field in half, I give my team a chance to win. Don't be a hero in this game.
Yeah.
Both sides of the ball, both defensive backs. We saw Ed Reed. When Ed Reed is quiet, everybody else is doing their job.
Yeah, that's a good
point. He was very, very quiet during the playoffs.
How about this number? How do you explain it? Flacco during the season, 116 deep passes. They call it 20 or more in the air. 116. Zero interceptions on those 116 passes. 15 touchdowns.
Well, what they say, it's either a long fly ball,
yeah,
or it's a catchable ball. So he's putting in position where either they're going to make the play or it's an incomplete pass. He's not – those deep balls, as we saw throughout the playoffs, the defensive back was not in position to pick the ball, to make a play.
Makes a lot of sense. Troy Vincent, the former Dolphin, now the Vice President of Player Engagement for the National Football League. Really great to catch up with you. Thanks for coming by, spending some time with us, and great to hear about everything you guys are doing here in New Orleans this week.
No, thanks for having me. I get all my alumni emails from Nat, so I'm staying engaged. I'm still love the aqua and orange.
Very nice.
Awesome.
Great stuff, Troy. Thanks.
Thank you.